Just going to share a few thoughts on Easter Sunday and the significance of it. It's by no means a comprehensive talk. The cross is a huge, huge deal. I'm just going to share a few of the things which go around in my head when I think about what Jesus has done for us. If you want to come up and use either of these areas at any point, you can. So, hands up, who here has ever been stressed out? Hands up who's ever been really, really stressed out. Hands up who's ever been beaten up. Hands up who's ever been bullied. Hands up who's ever felt abandoned or hurt. Hands up who's ever been spat on. Hands up who's ever been humiliated. Hands up who's ever felt completely overwhelmed by the weight of sin. Hands up who's ever felt just completely misunderstood. Hands up who's ever felt just abandoned by God. Hands up who's ever been tortured. Not many. Hands up who's ever been murdered. That's good. Hands up who's ever felt just in such a dark place that there's no hope. Life is painful. These things, they really hurt us. And I take great strength personally, knowing that the God that we worship has experienced these things himself. I take great comfort in knowing that God is not high and mighty in the clouds, unable to relate to humanity. All the things that we've listed, Jesus went through. Yesterday, I did a short little talk at Wycombe. For those of you who don't know what Wycombe is, it's our homeless project, which we kind of support and are very involved in. And I was just talking to people beforehand, and I just started crying, just talking to people, just welling up and having to hold back the tears because their stories were just so hopeless and so dark and so tragic. And I thought, what am I going to say? What can I say, which isn't just some quaint little Christian, have faith in God, That just doesn't cut the mustard, does it? When I have gone through low patches in my own life, I've taken great strength in just saying to myself over and over again, Jesus was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. I say that to myself, it's okay. He's been through it. He knows how I feel. Jesus was stressed out to the point of sweating blood. He was beaten, he was hurt, and he was abandoned by his friends. He was spat on, he was absolutely humiliated. He was overwhelmed with the weight of the sin of the whole earth. He was completely misunderstood. He was he felt completely abandoned by God. He was tortured and he was murdered, and he went on the cross and in his death to the darkest place, down into Sheol, where there is no hope. Our God went through it, and that is an amazing thing. And the cross comes right into the brokenness and the pain and the fragility of our human condition, and it meets us in that place. Christ meets us in that place, but as it enters in, it's a stake of hope which we can cling to. In the darkest of the dark places, it's a stake of hope. Why is it a stake of hope? Because all those things didn't overwhelm him. They didn't conquer. He rose. And that's what we celebrate today. All those things that we come under, they don't overcome us. Because death is not the end. They cannot kill us. The best is yet to come. And that's why the cross is full of hope. Because all those things, the worst that the broken human condition and the enemy had to throw at Christ did not win. So, is everyone with me?
Amen.
Good. Jesus rose from the dead, everybody. Amen. Hey! How do we know this? Hands up. How do we know that Jesus rose from the dead? Anyone want to kind of shout out any kind of answers? The tomb? The tomb was empty. That is true. What have I written here? Yes, basically, the tomb was empty. The people who were wanting him dead, the Jewish leaders, were very, very passionate about wanting him dead. And if there was a body to be found, they would have searched the whole of Jerusalem to find that body, because him not being in the tomb is very, very, very problematic to them. And Roman soldiers are set to guard the tomb. They're pretty good at their job. They're pretty good at, you know, being authoritative and killing people and doing their jobs. But the tomb was empty. That's one reason. How else do we know that Jesus rose from the dead? Yes, the disciples were transformed. So you've got this group of, you know, terrified teenagers, people in their early 20s, maybe 30s, and, you know, they go from being a quivering group of terrified people. Their leader has been killed, and, you know, they've abandoned Jesus, and they're hiding for their lives. And they go from being that to people who then put their lives on the line, and they commit to the very, very end to this message of, you know, this guy Jesus, he actually is alive. So listen to this. Peter, he was crucified upside down. James was executed by the sword. Thomas was speared to death. Matthew was speared to death. Philip was tortured, and he was crucified upside down. Bartholomew, he was skinned alive and crucified upside down. Andrew was crucified. James was crucified. Thaddeus was crucified. And Simon was crucified. And they all went to the end. No, none of them got to the end. You know, oh, you know, I'm being tortured or whatever. Actually, you know what? It's not true. They went to the end, saying that Jesus was alive. I put weight in that. How else do we know that Jesus rose from the dead? John. Come on. So John said he just knows. He knows. He's experienced him in his heart. Who else has a knows just because they know? Because they know him in his heart, in our hearts. We've experienced him. How else do we know that Jesus rose from the dead? Yeah. So Paul writes in Corinthians, the book of Corinthians wasn't a book in the Bible when Paul wrote it. It was this hugely circulated letter. So think, you know, someone putting something out in the press today for everyone to read and scrutinize and stuff. In Corinthians, he said, you know, Jesus, he appeared to the disciples, he appeared to the women, he appeared to me, and also he appeared to about 500 people. So what Paul is writing here, and it's not, you know, in the canon of scripture or anything like that, he's just writing and this thing will be scrutinized. He's saying, if you don't believe me, ask all these people. Yeah. Why would he write that in what is, you know, is treated historically as a primary source of history? Ooh. Any other reasons we know that Christ is risen? I written the explosion of Christianity like wildfire throughout Europe, and the conversion of Saul. You know, this guy called Saul of Tarsus, he was going around at the time killing Christians left, right and center. He was high up in society. He was an esteemed leader. You know, he had it all. Why would he just lose his reputation, put his life on the line, a dramatic conversion, and start just saying, actually, you know what? This is true. So there are just five reasons. And five reasons how we know Jesus has been raised from the dead. It's pretty cool, hey?
Yeah.
It's not just like, it's not make-believe. And there's shed loads of historical stuff. So Jesus rises from the dead, and it's a stake of hope in the ground, of a stake in the ground, the brokenness and pain of humanity. Why is it a stake of hope? Hands up. Make you guys think. Al. Do you want to unpack that? Yeah. As Christ was raised, Bible says, so will we be raised. He was the first fruits. So some of his... I won't say that. It's fantastic. We know that Christ was raised, so it takes away the fear of death. As Christ was raised, so will we. If we don't have that, it's scary. It's really scary. But we have that to hold on to. As Christ was raised, so will we.
The scripture says that he's the first fruits of those who've been raised, and it's not just eternal life, but it's everything that he's experienced is therefore available to us as we follow in him. So there is hope for everything that we see in his life, not just some future hope, but here now. Paul says, in this life, we're more than conquerors.
Come on.
I think there's some hope there.
Come on. Come on, come on, come on, come on. You know, I take great hope in the resurrection because of what it means that the message of Jesus, the life of Jesus, is completely validated. He came to model something. He came to model a leadership. He came to model a movement which was based on humility. It was based on servanthood. It was based on kindness, on meekness, on gentleness. It's based on these things. You know, in the world, we have generally an attitude of might is right. And, if I don't agree with you, well, then I'm just going to force my agenda. And Jesus came and he stood up for those values and to the bitter end. And you can kind of think, well, that's really nice that you're standing up for these values, Jesus. But where does it leave us? Let's just kill him. Let's kill the movement. The fact that he then raises from the dead, it validates the way of kindness. It validates the way of love. It validates everything that he stood for. It's phenomenal. And so, we are participating in the coming of a victorious kingdom. And I don't know about you, but if I want to follow someone, if I want to give to an organization or follow an organization, what are the values of that organization? What are the values of that leader, this person I want to follow? The cross and the resurrection are like the foundation, the core values of the king that we submit to. And the core values of this thing that we're part of, called the kingdom of God. And to the bitter end, the point of death, Jesus stood up for kindness, humility, love, grace, saying, Father, forgive them. These are the core values on which our faith is based. These are the core values of the king which we worship and submit to. And that's what the resurrection does. It validates the values of our king. Validates the values of the kingdom, the organization, whatever you that we serve. So, Romans, we read at the beginning. It's going to lead on to what Nigel said. I'll read it out. Can I just ask you just to maybe close your eyes and just let the words sink in? Romans 8, verses 31 to 39. So, what do you think? With God on our side like this, how can we lose? If God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition and exposing himself to the worst by sending his son, is there anything else he wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? And who would dare tangle with God by messing with one of God's chosen? Who would dare even point a finger? The one who died for us, who was raised to life for us, is in the presence of God at this very moment, sticking up for us. Do you think anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us? There is no way. Not trouble, not hard times, not hatred, not hunger, not homelessness, not bullying threats, not backstabbing, not even the worst sins listed in Scripture. And he quotes the Old Testament. They kill us in blood, cold blood, because they hate you. We're sitting ducks. They pick us off one by one. None of this phases us because Jesus loves us. I'm absolutely convinced that nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, unthinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way that our Master, Jesus, has embraced us. The cross and embracing and believing in the cross is like a passport to a new country, a visa to get into a new nation. And that nation, that country, is one where we know that 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 Jesus loves us to bits. That we're children of God. And nothing can separate us from the love of God. And that then leads us into what Nigel said. When we know the love of Christ, when we know God as Father, then we can live like Jesus lived. We can live the adventure which Jesus set out before us. I'll just read a few things that the Bible just says that we are. And after each line, I want you to say, hurrah! The Spirit testifies that we are sons of God. The power of sin is broken in our lives. Yay. The consequences of sin have been dealt with. Yay. There is no more shame, no more condemnation, and no guilt. Yay. So we can come boldly before God as children. Keep going, guys. Come on, come on, come on. There's no more fear of death. Yay. As Christ raised, so will we too be raised. Yay. And the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is within us. Yay. And the whole of creation is longing to see us step up and this, for that to be revealed. Yay. Cool. Yeah. So the cross meets us in our pain, in our brokenness, and gives us hope. And that hope propels us into a life of knowing God loves us, and he wants every single one of us to be bold, to be strong, to be courageous, to know who we are, to know who is with us, and to go change the world. And we change it following the example of Jesus. We follow his example in his death. We follow his example in his resurrection. People still with me?
Yes.
Justin Welby said this week. He's the Archbishop of Canterbury. In response to the terror attacks. He said, Easter proclaims to us in the flesh and blood that fear and death and terror are not the last words. God has spoken life, hope, and purpose. Terror speaks of a world at war with itself, of faiths at each other's throats. But Jesus Christ reaches out, not in exclusion, but in embrace. This is the feast of the victory of God, and we celebrate in the midst of darkness by our worship and our praise shining as an unquenchable light. That's what we celebrate today. Amen. So let's stand. Yeah.